Right, chaps? It's been 20 years since that day.
Already? Oh, so it has, yeah.
You just didn't think it would happen. You said, I will believe it when I see it.
What I actually said is, you can call me Susan if it happens.
Yeah, but it did
it
happen.
It did happen.
Yes. Susan. And you called me Susan for a month.
It was in the paper as well, wasn't it? It was in the paper and on the news.
I remember seeing the trailer.
Yeah, but that was the trailer they locked her in.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Because 20 years ago today,
what?
Gladys Clark from up the road stole 5 hot cross buns from Greg's.
Yes. Still can't believe it.
No, I know.
Wow, that's 85-year-old
woman.
Yeah. And she could move.
Really could. Yeah. She can't now because she's dead.
Oh, but, yeah.
You know.
But at the time, yeah.
Well done, Gladys.
And I thought it was the 20th anniversary of Doctor Who.
Welcome, 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 dear listeners, one and all, to this, the latest in a long line of Staggering Stories podcast. I'm Crumbly.
I'm Fake Keith.
I'm Adam.
I'm Asterman.
And I, yes, I am...
Susan.
Indeed.
But only at the weekends.
Yes. I'll wear a nice gingham dress. No.
Why am I reminded of Contagion?
Yeah, Mr. Flipple.
Mr. Flipple. Anyway, without further ado, bizarre anniversaries besides, it's the news with El Presidente.
Doctor Who news.
Oh, yeah.
Hey.
Cut down war games extended.
Oh,
okay.
Uh-huh. Get ready for an extra lengthy release of Doctor Who : the War Games : in colour.
Exclamation mark.
Coming to Blu-ray and DVD on the 21st of April, this edition boasts an extended 96-minute version of the colourised story as compared to the 90 minutes we had on TV and the iPlayer. Okay, that's still a lot shorter than the 240-minute original, but those extra 6 minutes could give even deeper pleasure than the last version. For those purists, the original black and white episodes will also be included. This release isn't just about the extended cut. It's packed with extras. Highlights include an audio commentary with familiar names like Russell T. Davies, featurettes exploring the model work involved, an interview with the editor, Chris Hayden, by Radio Free Scaro, newly unearthed 16mm footage, a hidden Easter egg, and galleries showcasing colour palettes, concept arts, and photos. The DVD edition will set you back 15 shiny pounds, the regular Blu-ray 20 shiny pounds, and the Blu-ray Steelbook 30 shiny pounds.
Ooh.
6 minutes.
Well,
that can make all the difference. That
could do.
What was that? Bohemian Rhapsody? I pity your wife that you think 6 minutes is a long time.
Severance.
Ding, 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 ding.
Third season for...
You're a strange boy.
Oh, I thought I said Deliverance.
Can I continue?
You may.
Thank you.
He's very grumpy today.
Third season for Split Brains. Good news for fans of the mind-bending Apple TV Plus series Severance. The streaming service has confirmed that the show will be back for a third, yes, third season. Severance delves into the lives of the employees at the, I'm going to mangle this, Lamon Industries, who have undergone a radical procedure to separate their work and personal lives from unknown and presumably dark aim.
Ooh, new one. Yeah.
The second season has just finished on Apple TV Plus, so both existing seasons are there to be streamed now. Given the nearly 3-year gap between those seasons, we perhaps shouldn't expect the third until at least 2027. Just be careful when mixing innies and outies.
I'm sure that means something to someone who's seen Severance.
I haven't seen. I've caught a couple of trailers and I've been intrigued.
Yeah, it's very good.
I don't have access to Apple TV, so I haven't seen it.
My sister's an outie.
Outie?
Yeah. I used to make fun of her belly button. Because mine's an innie, but hers is an outie. Mm. And if you try and push it back in, she cries.
It springs out again.
How old was she when you tried?
I was 3, she was 2.
Yeah. Yeah.
Starship Troopers, film reboot on the way.
Ooh. Interesting.
Mm. District 9's Neil Blomkamp is set to write and direct a brand new version of Starship Troopers. He'll be going back to the original 1959 book by Robert A. Heinlein, rather than attempting yet another spin-off from the 1997 Paul Verhoeven film. The novel explores an interstellar conflict between humanity and insect-like aliens through the eyes of soldier Johnny Rico, delving into themes of military life and the connection between service and citizenship. While influential, the book has sparked debate over its potential fascist overtones. Paul Verhoeven's film offered a satirical and over-the-top interpretation, and with Blomkamp's history of social commentary, we might expect similar treatment in this new version. Time will tell if it gets beyond production hell, of course.
So I'm actually looking forward to that, because the original version was a bit over the top, wasn't it? It was a bit like Lad's Night Out in Space.
Deliberately
with guns.
So. Yeah. You know, as with... I've forgotten.
But he's gone offline.
It was up to 11.
Yeah, absolutely.
A little bit. I mean, but it did continue the book's theme of whether a military dictatorship is better than democracy.
Yeah, it was in keeping with the theme of the book. I'm not denying that. Mm. It was just turned it up.
Oh, it cranked
11.
Up, yeah.
Mm. Yes. I think it was one of the first DVDs I ever had, one of those dual layer ones as well. That's how old.
Yeah. I know. It did spawn a sort of series of inferior sort of spin-offs.
How many sequels were there in the end? I saw two of them, I think.
I don't know, yeah.
There was I think, a couple of very poorly received films. Mm. There was also an animated cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
If I completely missed that.
Yeah. It was a weird time.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Like RoboCop, the animated TV series for kids. And Did they not watch the original film?
I have an addendum.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right, there's apparently been a casting call for the new Buffy semi-reboot.
Oh, right, yeah.
And the hero, the main slayer, is going to be called Nova.
Okay.
And sort of sticking to the old format, because one of the other characters is the awkwardly nerdy Hugo, Nova's best friend and law-loving Gracie, the confident jock Cole, and the high school librarian Mr. Burke, who becomes a vampire at some point. And of course, like Xander, Hugo has a crush on Nova.
Mm.
That's pretty much all we've got at the moment.
Yeah. Familiar territory there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So where's Buffy coming to? Is she going to be
Buffy was meant, according to that, was meant to be the person who mentored Nova.
Right.
That I mean, means no she, Giles was or... she was responsible for loads of them. So.
Yeah.
Are they in it full time? Or the old crew in it full time? Or
is it?
Yeah, okay. Okay. Talking of weird times,
right? Yeah.
On March the 13th this year, the Texas House of Representatives have passed the Forbidding Unlawful Reputation of Role-Playing in Education Act.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. No more dragons in maths.
Well, this is it. Or as it is been shortened down to the Furries Act.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Right.
This is aimed for the display and allowance of non-human behaviour in Texas.
Okay.
Very specific law.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, what was the danger here for people?
Well, it appears to have been inspired by the discredited, and I like to underline that and highlight it, discredited, debunked rumour from 2022 that kids were identifying as cats and were actually going to the toilet on litter trays in schools.
I did read about that. Yeah.
Yeah. But the thing is, as it says, it has been debunked. There is absolutely no truth in this rumour, but they have still passed this act that is outlawing and forbidding for you to wear tails or cat ear bandeau.
You'd have thought that the school rules would forbid you from wearing tails
and
cat ear bandanas anyway.
It didn't need to be specified before.
Uniforms aren't a big thing over there.
The thing is that the reason it's come across my purview and made me slightly annoyed is it can be actually extended to school-sanctioned D&D and role-playing clubs that are run and organised by teachers. So the teachers
could go to jail.
It's crazy,
it's
isn't
ridiculous,
it?
Yeah, isn't it?
It's
Texas has never been great, but yeah, that's even bad for even for them.
It's back to the old satanic panic back in the 80s and 90s, which, again, had no established reality to it.
No, but they're eating cats and dogs somewhere in that country, so...
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Why cats and dogs?
We're saying nothing because we're not trying
to be political here.
Ah, right. Enough said.
Yeah.
Any more addendums?
I have another addendum.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Back in last year, I think it was, we had the Star Wars Hotel.
Oh, yes. At Disney.
Rode high and long and then crashed quite rapidly.
Mm-hmm. Just a year and a half or something? You're not very long. Yeah.
Well, at the moment, they're trying to crowdfund Halcyon Days, which is a documentary into the running and background of this Disney hotel.
Probably better than actually going to the hotel.
Well, this is it. I mean, personally, I would have loved to have gone for at least one hit.
I would have liked to have.
But the price was, as we mentioned,
thousands for a night.
But I think it's a 3-day thing.
Still thousands.
$2,000 a day.
Yeah, the cheapest one was about $4,000.
Yeah.
Ouch. Yeah, so she would want to take your kids there.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Hopefully there'll be links. Because we have a Kickstarter fund running for them. Yeah. I think it's at the moment has raised about 19,000 for this documentary. Yeah. I think the documentary itself is going to be aimed more sort of the cosplayers and the role-playing thing.
Yes.
Where actually on YouTube there is an unofficial one that sort of looks more into the running of the thing.
I think I saw that about 4 hours long.
Yeah.
It was really good. Really interesting. She had a really good deep dive into why it went wrong.
Again, I've included it to Adam. Hopefully we remember to put the links up on the website. Yep.
I shall watch that, I think. So presumably this documentary is cheaper to make than actually staying at the hotel.
Yes.
Probably.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, probably.
Any more?
I have one final addendum.
Okay.
Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Okay.
Do you remember what was always appeared in the Replimat Ops and various places?
Ractogenos.
The Ractogeno.
Klingon coffee.
And it also appeared in a distinctive mug.
I think they're called tumble, not mugs.
Yeah, which almost works. I had one back in the day until the cat decided that it didn't actually want it.
It was in her way.
Yeah.
Basically, it lost the battle with gravity.
It lost the battle with the cat. Ah. But anyway, those were not Star Trek-produced mugs or Paramount-produced mugs. They were bought off the shelf.
Yep, IKEA, probably.
apparently, you can no longer get those mugs because the company that produced them have let the the copyright lapse.
Oh, okay.
So they're not produced anymore. Mm-hmm. So a company called Cherry Tree have produced a certain style of mug called the IYKYK Spaceball mug.
If you know, you know.
Mm. And on the underside, which I do love, because they've really, really gone for it. On the underside of the mug, when you're drinking it, it says, "Come to Quarks. Quarks is fun. Come right now. Don't walk, run."
So how much are these things going for?
They are a bit steep, in my opinion, but they go selling for about $30 a mug.
For a mug? Yeah. When we have cats in the house.
Yeah. By the time we have that imported as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Mind you, something you just reminded me of, the last time I was up in Port Marion, many, many years ago, souvenir shop.
Yep.
There are souvenirs in there. Pint glasses. Every time you take a swig, you're reenacting the scene from the episode "The Girl Who Was Death."
Right.
You see the bottom of the pint glass through Patrick McGoohan's eyes, and it just says, "You have," takes a swig, "just been," take another swig, "poisoned."
Okay. Good for parties.
Yeah. Those were on sale in the prison souvenir shop.
Actually, thinking about it, that mug I picked up at Loxwood. Mm. That's a Ractogeno mug.
Yeah.
Very like it,
Wrong colour, but it's the Ractogeno mug. Mm. Anyway.
And that's the end of the news. Right, we've been listening to stuff.
We have.
Stuff.
Those
not
audio
the
mongers at Big Finish.
Sticky
presenting
stuff.
Doctor Who. Pause for music. So, young Adam, what have we been listening to?
Cobwebs.
Featuring?
Some Pete Davison.
Oh, yes.
Oh, he's mm-hmm. lovely.
It's number 136 of the old monthly range, and I believe it's the first time we had Turlough, Nyssa, and
Tegan.
Tegan, mm-hmm. along with the Fifth Doctor all mm-hmm. together mm-hmm. since they're on TV.
Yeah, so when was this recorded then?
Oh, ages ago.
About 2010 it came out, I think.
Yeah. Not too long ago then.
So for the Doctor, Tegan and Turlough, it's been 2 days since Terminus.
Yes.
For Nyssa, it's been like 50 years.
They've made Nyssa the same age as the actress was at that point in time.
And on the covers of the CD, she's actually the older Sarah Sutton as well.
Ooh. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Don't really know why, because she doesn't sound any...
No.
Different to no. the others. They've all sounded a bit older.
Yeah.
She doesn't. In fact, she's about 70 years old.
Yeah. No, it's Trakan biology. Yeah,
exactly. She doesn't yeah. try to raise or lower her voice. It's
mm-hmm. This is part of a trilogy, I believe. Yes. So I've not heard the other two. So I don't know if the fact she's 50 years older comes into play at all.
I think we head towards the Mara, don't we? Cradle of the Snake?
Yeah, Cradle of the Snake. That was a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. But Tegan does comment on her looking older, but that's about all you get, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, pretty well,
it's just a reason
episode,
to get her
yeah.
off of Terminus and away from the Lazars without yeah, she's making done her work. Abandon her post.
Yeah, yeah, she's cured all the Lazars and doing really well.
She's just a big damn hero.
I think it's a case of trying to bring another aspect to the character. Mm.
Yeah. Maybe.
Mm. Yeah, this whole episode is a big wibbly-wobbly-boop. Yeah.
Oh,
timey-wimey.
Yes. That's yes. because it's written by Johnny Morris. He's the Steve Moffat of Big Finish.
Animal magic.
Yes. That's what I was thinking. Does he know the voice name? That sounds.
That is lost to anyone who wasn't living in England during the 70s and
yes.
80s.
Yeah.
People of a certain age.
This team, anything with Nyssa, Tegan and Five, is just my favourite. Because they Nyssa, Tegan and Five were the team when I really got into it.
Yeah.
End of Tom Baker, into Peter Davison.
Yeah, likewise.
Obviously, I'd seen it all before. And if I had to choose, I would choose to watch them, episodes with them in it, over an episode with the Doctor and Sarah Jane. Because they're just my favourite down the line.
There's some nice rivalry, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Particularly, Tegan against Turlough rather than Turlough against
Tegan. Or in this episode, does she really deserve a slap?
She is particularly
annoying and obstreperous.
Well, she's only too happy to see the back of Turlough because obviously she's found out about him working for the Black Guardian.
Yeah.
And they even mention him balancing a crow on his head.
and hiding under the floorboards of Terminus together.
So anyway, TARDIS is dragged down to this planet.
Mysteriously,
of course. There's a research station on this planet, but it's really, really empty.
Long abandoned.
Really, really empty. Apart from...
some skeletons.
Skellybobs. Yes. Four skellybobs.
Four skellybobs and the maintenance spiders.
Yes. Cobwebs everywhere.
And Edgar. Pity me.
Pity me.
The computer.
Pity me. Pity me.
Edgar was like a cross between Hal and Marvin the Paranoid Android. But this is set over two time periods.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of toing and froing.
It said the later really time period is where the action starts.
Yeah.
And then they move to an earlier time period.
But also on the planet, for completely different reasons, is Nyssa and her companion.
Loki.
Loki the android.
Loki the petrified android.
Yeah. He's a bit of a fraidy cat. Yeah.
It was coincidentally our cat Loki was sitting next to me to be stroked and purring whilst we were listening to this.
Oh, really?
And she's the opposite of scary, of scared. She's a psycho.
But the whole premise with the skeletons is that they want to avoid their own deaths down the line, which is kind of like that Hartnell Space Museum story where they just try to avoid the inevitable future.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
They go aboard and find skeletons of themselves in remains of what they're wearing at the moment.
Even down to the little trimmings of Turlough's jacket.
And they get a brief video feed of them having been there in the past.
Yeah.
So they definitely have been there. The computer knows them as well.
Yeah.
Tegan, of course, takes this well.
I think she was standing in the middle of the room doing teapot, wasn't she?
I mean, the whole moral of this story is all about corporate greed.
Yeah.
Often Doctor Who is.
Yeah.
Yes, because there's another bunch of corporateness going on where they're synthesizing another virus, isn't
yes.
it?
Mm, yes.
This is just killed the Lazarus virus.
We have three people there who initially are trying to find the cure to the Rictus virus.
Which
is also what Nyssa has come back to find the cure to Rictus virus.
And these three people don't own their own memories at the moment, do they?
They only get them locked at certain points.
Yeah. They have their intelligence and their experience, but they don't have their memories.
So, of course, at that point, you're playing which one of them is the traitor.
Yeah, and even them, they're aware of a traitor, aren't they, at one point?
Because they're playing which one's the traitor.
Yeah.
it reminds me of Severance,
that
Apple TV thing, where you have a different set of memories and personality almost when you go to work and then when you're at home. And they're split entirely.
Neither the twain shall meet.
Yeah, because they have to upload their memories at the end of every shift.
Oh, yes.
Which, coincidentally, when the Doctrine group first arrived, certain selected aspects of those memories are projected into them.
Specifically their death.
Oh, that's right.
They experience the original base's occupant's death.
Mm. But once they turn up, it's not really about cobwebs at all, is it? Cobwebs or spiders. It just completely changes the premise. It's all about the Rictus development.
No, I think the whole title Cobwebs is about the different strands
of time.
Time, cause and effect.
Also, there's a setup of the world they're on as ruins and some implication that something's going on there.
Yeah, something has been here before.
You don't really find out, do you?
Again, I haven't heard the other two parts of the trilogy, so I don't know if it comes back.
I don't think, if memory serves, it doesn't. It's a complete, massive red herring.
Right.
Yeah, because the planet they're on, that's basically, it's uninhabitable. So,
apart from
the cracktids,
which seems to be flesh-eating crab scorpions. Mm-hmm.
Which are apparently the only indigenous species, which I don't know how that works with no ecosystem.
Cannibals.
Yeah.
And how do they even evolve?
They're just a different species. Just because we can't understand them doesn't mean it doesn't happen.
The implication, they're
integral to the plot.
Yeah, the implication is, what with the ruins, there may have been some other life on this planet millions of years ago, but all that's left now is the Cractus.
Right.
Perhaps they eat rocks.
Maybe.
Yeah. But there again, they're the only creatures they can find that are immune to the
Rictus virus.
Rictus virus.
Mm-hmm. They're trying to sort of cultivate the cure, but it's not, something's not working. It's not connecting until Nyssa suggests that you put an aspect of the Rictus into
the Cractus into
the human genome.
And then the scientist who was there on the base complains that she solved it in literally 2 minutes.
After
they've been working on it for months.
Yeah.
She did a bit of a leg up having solved the old Lazar thing, I suppose. Yeah. But,
and she has 40 years in advanced knowledge, because the second half is 40 years earlier than the first half.
Yes.
Because you're told at the beginning that this is the time that Rictus makes itself known.
Yeah.
Mm.
And as we find out at the end, it was all extremely avoidable, apart from one man's selfishness.
Yeah, ignorant stupidity.
Mm. Pretty much, yeah.
Oh, that's that men the... for you.
Oh, that was the security officer.
That was.
Yes.
Turns out...
Brag.
It turns out the security officer who's there to keep an eye out for traitors and espionage spies
is the traitor.
Is the traitor and the espionage spy.
When he uploaded his...
When he finally gets his memories back.
That's it, yeah.
There are various threads that, when you initially hear it, is they're writing themselves into a corner, but everything is nicely wrapped up and works out.
Mm. I like this older version of Nyssa. The younger Nyssa was always trying to
get laid.
Not ingratiate, but trying to make Tegan like her.
Yeah.
This one's more knowledgeable and seems to have less patience.
Yes.
A bit more older and more cynical.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, look at what she's been through. I know during the series and during many, many of the big finishes, Tegan could be a grump. But this one was, I think they took it too far.
Well,
because she seemed to be beyond reason at some points.
Well, yes and no, considering that she's potentially staring her own death.
Yeah, but there's other times she's been staring her own death in the face and has taken it better. But I suppose this time she'd literally just lost her best friend.
Yeah.
And then suddenly she's back, but she's 40 years older.
And also, you're staring at physical evidence of your own skeleton. Yeah. In other things, it's just been a concept. Yeah, it's there in front of you.
But she was, before they even found the skeleton, she was being a numpty. I just think they took it a step too far in this one. Because in all the others and in the show, you could kind of relate to what she was thinking. But this one, it's like, for God's sake, woman, would you just listen to what you're being told? And I like Tegan. She's one of my favourites.
Turlough was completely in character, though.
Oh, yeah.
And it was more about developing Nyssa for this story. Yeah. Was
I thought you were taking me home first, actually.
But Turlough was Old Who's Yaz.
Yeah.
if anyone was going to be locked away, shoved down a tunnel, abandoned, forgotten, just not told that they were filming that week, it was going to be Turlough.
Spent a couple of hours inducting.
Yeah.
Well, that was with Tegan, wasn't it? And she does reference that.
That's the reason for it. Again, also, I do love Davison and Janet Fielding's relationship to each other.
It's always the best.
Yeah.
This is why it's such a brilliant team, even though it's snippy.
I know it wasn't mentioned in this one, but one of the big finishes, the line that always sticks in my mind is the Doctor standing there going, right, everyone out the window. Women, children, Tegan.
There's always a sort of audio eye roll from Davison at some point. Isn't there? Come on, Tegan. And in the end, their own skeletons turned out to be a red herring.
Yeah.
Again, it wasn't them at all.
There was quite a few red herrings in this one.
Yeah.
It goes back to the old Amy Rory gravestone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Means nothing.
Yeah. The CIA motto, the story may change, but the ending remains the same.
That's it. See, he's the Stephen Moffat of Big Finish.
Yeah, must be.
You do know that in the end everyone dies, so they would have been under that gravestone at some point.
Not necessarily. They may be off-world somewhere else when they died.
Oh, listen to him. Oh, poor little thing. Okay, so this is the first of a three-part thingy.
Yes.
Yes.
During this period in Big Finish, they were doing very loose trilogies, sort of three stories in a row.
We're going to have to listen to the other two, because I liked this one.
Yeah, I don't think anything in this one follows on, if memory serves, but I could be mistaken.
Although, I've been bitching on Tegan. Oh, she did actually have an intelligent moment when she realised that if the Skellybobs were them, where was their TARDIS?
She pointed out a major plot point.
She worked that out all by herself.
And even the Doctor hadn't thought of that.
No, yeah, which is a good old, really. But,
So perhaps rage is her way of getting the old grey cells going.
Maybe.
Whiny rage.
Whiny rage, yeah. Sorry, Tegan. All right, we really liked this one.
Yes.
And we'd like to know what you thought of it. So don't watch it. Listen to Cobwebs. And then write to us via show
at
staggeringstories.net.
Woo! Jean's been very quiet today.
She has.
Is she still melting?
Was she melting?
Yeah, the last time around. Yeah.
Ah.
The stories change. Either she's in space or she's melting.
Perhaps she's getting in space something and gone repaired.
Too close to the sun.
Yep. Well, probably,
she
yes.
Icarus'd it. Oh, well, Jean, if you have melted, oh, well.
Just reconstitute yourself, you'll be fine.
Yeah, come back to us next time. Was that Jean's melted form dripping? You're a strange boy. He wouldn't let me bring Trixie tonight.
Oh.
He said, bitch, the dog's got to get used to being on her own.
Yeah. Bitch.
She is, because she's a girl. Trixie's doing really, really well. She still barks at our youngest son. We've decided they are each other's nemeses.
Yes.
Because while she's barking at him, she's wagging her tail. So she's doing it on purpose. Although this evening she was a bit ticked off and barked at Adam and Scott.
Yeah.
And at me when
and
I
at
walked
you,
in
yeah.
twice.
No.
When
I walked
in
the door.
It's a bark.
Sexist
this was
dog.
My fault because I dared to go out for the afternoon for work. Won't do that.
Taking it on the rest of us now.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Need a shock collar.
No!
What, for her or for the dog?
Well.
Oi!
Love you!
Okay, on the subject of things rotting and...
Illness
and viruses in the air and that. And doctors, where you don't expect to see doctors.
Oh, yes.
Mm.
We watched something with Jodie Whittaker in.
It was
called Toxic Town. Pause for music.
What music are you going to have?
Did it have a theme tune? It must have had a theme tune.
It must have been some... Or at the end,
just
maybe.
Just do the Netflix noise.
Dong!
Are we really gonna swing tonight? I could already see her face and touch her long red hair.
Now, this is based on
a true story. Yes.
Mm. Corby Borough Council.
Yes.
And a lot of...
Corner cutting, shenanigans.
Not in a good way.
Resulting in dead children and children with birth deformities.
Yeah.
I think birth defects is probably a nicer way of putting it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jodie Whittaker plays Susan McIntyre, who, let's face it, was awesome.
Yeah.
The real Susan McIntyre was amazing.
Even more so.
And her son was born with a defected hand.
Mm, yes.
And she bumps into other women whose children also have the same defect. They get together thinking, hang about, something's odd here. And while they're thinking something's odd here, in the background, you've got Gendry from Game of Thrones and his mates all doing building work to reclaim the land of an old steelworks, hurtling through the town in their lorries with orange dust flying everywhere.
So having a laugh with it because they were racing
they
each
were
other
racing.
At one point.
There was an incentive to get bonuses.
Yeah, that was very nice.
They were like dirty Amazon drivers.
That's it. So, Lambs and drivers dirty, Anna.
No!
In a way, this is much more scandalous than the Horizon debacle because, it involved unborn children's lives.
Yeah.
It does feel a bit of a jumping on the bandwagon after Mr. Bates versus the post office. They've gone for a similar sort of story.
Yeah.
But it's a good story to tell and worth,
telling. Yeah.
Yeah, because these things need to be brought to light.
Yeah, exactly.
But it is all done and dusted by the time this goes out. Unlike
if you'll excuse the
post office.
The post office was still on. It broke the post office,
This was four episodes. And the only thing that annoyed me about the way it was done is that they didn't name the bastards responsible.
Yeah.
And they're all dead.
Yeah.
Mm. The only thing at the end, it said the counsellor. They said the character of the counsellor was based on three different men.
It was an amalgamation. Yeah.
None of which lived to see their theme park.
Their plans.
Yeah. So they're all gone. You cannot defame the dead,
but
you have to think about their families, I suppose.
Maybe, but still, if it is anything like it's portrayed, those guys should have been in prison.
They should have been.
There's no reason why they shouldn't be called out for what they did.
They were essentially sort of coating the town with dusty metals and radiological materials, weren't they?
Various elements, cesium,
cadmium.
Yeah. The irony being, when it was all contained within that site, it hadn't spread anywhere. It was only when they tried to clean it up that they caused all the problems.
Only when the steelworks got demolished and the site got cleaned. And the lorries basically went through the centre of the town.
No covering, no washing. As fast as possible.
As you saw, the puddles of water in the roadside were orange rather than.
Speaking of the characters, Robert Carlyle, who's always excellent, played Sam Hagen.
A real person. He was the real man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also the young clerk, the young council worker, he was real as well.
Yeah, his life took a turn, didn't it?
Both of their livelihoods or their lives were fundamentally changed because of their reaction, because they were both cut off and slammed down, basically.
Yeah, they were trying to do the right thing.
Yeah, they lost any reputation they had.
These other three, let's call them wankers, because that's what they are, were shutting them down.
Mm, yeah.
And you couldn't go over their heads because there were no other heads to go to.
They were the head of the council.
Yeah.
There was also another voice that I heard in there with a big finish link. There was Stephen Elder that turned up towards the end and represented all the mothers in court. And he was...
Oh.
The guy that played Pharaoh in Jubilee and did... I think a whole season of Dalek Empire with David Tennant, William Gorn. Mm. And he was on screen and I was listening away and I was trying to work out the voice before I'd even seen his face.
There's also Rory Kinnear played the barrister who got the whole thing going with Susan McIntyre.
Help their legal aid.
That's right. And he was a local man that moved away and then become a lawyer and come back to represent them.
And his father used to be
site manager on Steelworks. When it used to be a Steelworks.
Yeah. It was very difficult watching. Mm.
Particularly that first episode with the children being born and you instantly knew one of them had a problem with their hand. And when the second baby was born by the woman that was in opposite Jodie's bed, it was so quiet. You knew straight away
there was something wrong.
Really, really wrong with that.
And she didn't live very long at all.
A couple of months.
A few days.
However, Jodie, it was really, really nice seeing her out of Doctor Who and in something completely different.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, very different character.
Yeah, she wasn't limited by the Doctor's behaviour. She was sort of all over the place with different emotions.
Completely. She had a drinking problem.
Smoking. Yeah, antidepressants.
Fond of male company. Yeah.
And she was leading the whole series, really, wasn't she?
She was in the fight.
I mean, her boyfriend was an absolute scumbag.
Yeah, she went to a punch-up with another mother.
She did.
Yeah, that starts off with her doing some karaoke really badly.
Oh yeah, that is literally the worst.
And we've heard her sing properly.
But she definitely found more relatable, I suppose, as that person.
There's a lovely behind the scenes thing where the three, Jodie and the other two main women, meet the people they're playing.
Oh, there's a photo that's on the end.
They were talking through and there were tears and things.
I looked and I thought, wow, they look old now, but of course this
it was the 90s, wasn't it?
I did spot there was a 1996 scene where quite a few houses had solar panels. I thought, that didn't happen in 1990.
If I remember rightly, there is a line, certain cartographical anomalies. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, it was the Time Lord energy. Yeah, she still had it, and it was just messing with things.
It was nice that her son that was born in the first episode, you saw him grow up through the whole season, then he's a bit more grown up towards the end. The dad initially walks out.
When it all started, he was excited about the baby and he was doing everything right. And then just because his hand's manky, he turns and walks away.
Susan's struggling at that point. She's blaming herself for the hand.
Because you would, because she's got postnatal depression on top of everything.
Yeah, and the first thing he does is walk out. And then he comes back and they try again briefly.
Yeah.
But it turns out he's just after the money.
For a moment, they think he's going to buck up. But then he's up and help.
But then he's cornering the boy and saying, you could invest in my business, you could do this, that and the other. One scene I did like, though, when the boys are having their breakfast, and the older one's 16 at that point, and the father is, Jodie's kicking him out, she's realised what he's about, and she's telling him to go, and he's trying to be big man on campus, going, oh, this is my house, my kids. And the 16-year-old lad, who at that point is taller than his father, just steps between his father and his mother and looks at him until he goes away.
And there was a nice scene at the end with the younger son with the health problems, you know, with her smoking away and them swearing at each other and she's telling him to go nick a beer behind her back.
I wonder if those relationship problems between Jodie's character and the father, I wonder if that was real. Presumably it had to be real.
Well, they had to stick to, because the women in the behind the scenes thing said the only thing that made them laugh about it was the karaoke scene.
Okay.
They had no issues with the rest of it.
Because the real person, would he have had problems with that?
If he's still around.
Maybe not. Yeah.
Or maybe it was an exaggeration of his character.
But was he happy to be portrayed like that? I don't know. It's always,
if he walked out on his family, tough titties. Yeah. That's what happened.
If that is what happened. I don't know. You just don't know, do you?
Yeah. It did portray how difficult it was for them to build the case, though. Every step, every specific thing.
They checked the water, because it's obviously got to be into the water supply, not realising it was the dust. And it wasn't quite far into, was it the third episode?
episode.
The woman, one of the mums, made a comment in passing about having to always clean her car.
Yeah, and you'd seen it in the early episodes where they were sort of brushing it off their washing.
And the windows.
And that means all the people working on the site, their own husbands, brought it home on them as well.
That was the horrible thing. Joe Dempsey, Gendry from Game of Thrones. And it nearly ruined him, didn't it? Because he was so...
He realised
that what he'd done, and he didn't know, you know.
He wasn't told. None of them were told that this is a toxic... They were just told,
get this rubbish from there to there as fast as you possibly can. But it was things like when the official report had got the numbers wrong.
And they had to prove
that, because the courts were all ready to... Well, the report says this... And the council, oh my God, they were horrible.
They obstructed every step of the way.
And it isn't right to the end that they have that breakthrough in court, really, is it? Yeah. It's like you get through all the four episodes and you're nearly you're kicked back.
Every moment it's touch and go.
I think we were all cheering when they were cheering. Finally!
This is it. What I can say to summing up, it was a damn good show. Can't say I enjoyed it, but it was good to watch and follow.
It didn't make for easy viewing.
I'm so glad Sam Hagen was a real man, because he was excellent.
Yeah. Didn't get a picture of him, did we, at the end?
No, I don't think so, but he died a few years back.
It's a shame, isn't
it? We recommend you watch it, because it's fascinating and horrible and amazing, but you're going to get really, really cross. But on the positive side, you get to hear Jodie do karaoke when she's meant to be Three Sheets to the Wind. And
swear like a trooper as well.
It's not tuneful.
She's a very good actress.
Remember that scene from Bridget Jones where she's doing karaoke? It was almost as bad as that.
Yeah, you're right. She was Scottish this time, wasn't she?
I think she was Scottish because they said that there were a lot of Scots in the area because they'd come down from Scotland.
She kind of found her own variation of Scottish, didn't she? She didn't do like a caricature. No, she just sort of...
Presumably it's based on the real woman's voice they've met. Yeah, Netflix.
Yes.
Yeah, four episodes. Give it a go. Give me sharks and
Wolverine. Ooh. Speaking of someone that's covered in dust.
Oh,
you really need to get the Hoover out.
Yes.
1, 2, 3.
Hello, head of Pertwee.
He's got Dinky McSquirts a lot on his head.
I thought that was a really big zit.
Hello, Handles.
Hello, Dinky McSquirts a lot.
Hello, various nebulas.
Terrence!
Dave Zilla the mighty!
Dangerous Churchill. Nazi Spock.
Folded up and propped against a radiator, Clara with a... Is that Amy? What's Amy doing between Clara's legs?
Just a mask.
Oh, it's a mask!
Beheaded.
Jeez.
I thought you was describing another one of his fantasies.
I just don't know what his house is going to show.
Panama hat wearing Moomin.
Hey, Moomin. Have we got any, what's that stuff
back
called?
Back of feet.
Feedback, yes.
We have some audio feedback.
Woo!
First off, we've heard from Tim, from Tim's Take On.
Hi, Tim!
Hello, Staggerers. Hello, Head of Pertwee. Hello, various members of the menagerie. And hello from Siobhan the Goat. Okay. Now, up on my shelf, getting slightly dusty. Belated thank you to Adam and various other people for organising Siobhan's funeral last month. It's the first time I've had to explain to work colleagues the next day why a funeral was funny.
Good.
Particularly the Portsmouth Symphonia. It was a lot of conversation starting with, oh, well, do you know the Portsmouth Symphonia? Blank face.
Yeah.
Goes to YouTube, plays people the Portsmouth Symphonia. Rapidly they got the gag. Well, the Sea Devils. Thought I'd chime in on this because I have a fairly clear memory of when I first saw this. It predates the Doctor Who repeats on UK Gold. It's when they did some repeats on BBC Two in the early 90s, so it must have been about 92. And I'd never seen this story before then. And one of my first thoughts was, oh, that soundtrack by Malcolm Clarke.
Famous.
Basically fighting a rather large analog synthesizer to produce something vaguely equating to music. I remember thinking at the time, what the hell is this, when I heard that soundtrack? And then it's gradually grown on me over the years, and it's now on my phone and will show up now and again when the phone's on shuffle. I've got a couple of 30-second recommendations for you.
Oh, yeah.
Which will probably take me longer than 30 seconds. First one is on Amazon Prime. It's a 10-part series called Nautilus.
Yes.
Sort of reworking of the Captain Nemo stories. They've set it in the time of the British Empire. So Nemo is an escaped prisoner from India, and he has this kind of ragtag crew with mixed nationalities. There's someone from New Zealand, there's a British woman who's trying to escape from some man who was trying to marry her in a sort of arranged marriage. She's got a sort of guardian with her, whose job is to supposedly deliver her to this marriage, but that sort of plot is down there. It's sort of steampunky in a way, because the Nautilus feels very advanced for when the story is set. I don't want to spoil the plot for you too much, but there's some interesting things go on as they're sort of on the run from the authorities, because I think they've stolen the Nautilus. It's actually meant to be owned by this company that's got its own private army.
East India Company.
Bigger than the British Army. And the other thing I saw just last Sunday as I recall this, I went at first to the London Gaming Market, where I bought yet another TARDIS, because there was a pixel art TARDIS there.
Okay.
Couldn't help yourself.
And then went to see Mickey 17.
Yay.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting take on a sort of cloning drama set in the far future, where they've invented a machine that will print a human being, and you can download someone's memories into this human being. And so they invent the concept of expendables, people who do dangerous work, but if they die, they can just print them again and they'll continue work. And there is the Mickey of the title is on this ship, which ends up on this planet that they're trying to colonize, and the whole mission is led by a character played by Mark Ruffalo with very odd teeth.
Yeah.
A kind of definitely Donald Trump inspired character who has no concept of the fact that aliens could be friendly, and also no concept of the fact that if you land on an alien planet, you are the aliens, not them.
Mm-hmm.
Again, don't want to give too much away, but it's an excellent film. While I was watching it, I got the feeling they must have filmed it in this country because there's so many British actors in it. It's also must have been filmed about 2 years ago, because it seems like it's got the final, certainly film acting role in it for Hayden Gwynn, an actress you'd know from Drop the Dead Donkey.
Oh, I didn't.
So there you are. There's a couple of things recommended for you. And the other thing worthy of note is it's good to know that Whoville's going ahead this year, because this time last year we didn't even know that the quad venue would survive. Yeah. So there you go. Bye for now.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you.
Yeah, several of us have seen Mickey 17. Yeah, it really is worth a watch. Yeah,
it's pretty good.
Are we doing Whoville?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think someone's already got tickets, so yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Grab a ticket while you can.
Yay.
And also they're doing Big Finish Day up at Quad as well, which tickets are 75% sold already, I think, last I heard.
And we're going to the Capital Cutaway.
Oh, yes.
Next weekend.
Is it?
Not this weekend, come in the weekend after.
Okay, right. Keep that in mind.
It's nearly April.
I know, it's crazy.
Any more feedback?
Yes, we have one more bit of audio feedback. Can you guess who from?
Catherine.
Hello!
Catherine!
Hello, Staggerers.
Hello, Chris.
Hello, Dave Zilla the Mighty, and hello, Head of Pertwee. It's been an odd couple of weeks here at Shea Dragon, with many ups, downs, and not nearly enough chocolate. But life continues unabated.
Good.
Interesting to hear when the new Doctor Who episodes will drop this season. While it was fun to watch the show Friday evenings, most weeks I watched on Saturday or Sunday. Sometimes even later.
Wow.
There was a lot going on last spring. And what a shame to hear about Simon Fisher Becker.
Yeah.
I got to chat with him a bit at Galley 1 year, and he was indeed easy to talk to.
Oh, yeah.
Lovely fellow. Yep. Sad that he's no longer with us. On to Paddington.
Yeah.
I have seen this.
Oh,
doesn't that make for a change? Okay. I watched it last night. I'll admit I wasn't expecting a lot from the film, but it was a delight.
Yeah,
there was such a lovely mix of magical realism and reality that made the movie actually feel like a storybook come to life.
Yeah.
I especially love the use of the doll's house to talk about the Browns and their relationships. The CGI was impressive, for all this movie is 11 years old.
Yeah.
Great attention to detail, as you've mentioned. And they really integrated Paddington into the live action perfectly. Mm-hmm. At least, it looked that way on my iPad.
Yeah, likewise.
When my mother and I were in London years ago, our hotel wasn't too far from Paddington Station. And on one of our excursions, we made a point to find the Paddington Bear-specific gift shop.
Oh, really?
I was impressed by her restraint. I think she only bought 3 bears that day. I now have several of the bears she bought on that trip, and I'm not sure Paddington is one of them. Mm. Must check on that. Fugitive Doctor, Most Wanted. I wasn't planning on buying the Fugitive Doctor audio stories, but I've sold a few extra items this month, and Big Finish was having a sale, so I went for it. And I'm glad I did.
Yeah.
All 3 stories were a good listen,
even
though I had to pay much closer attention to the third story on the second time around, to try to understand everything going on.
Yeah.
Still not sure I've got it.
Yeah.
But I am warming to Joe Martin's doctor, who came off too grumpy and brusque to me on the show, as she did in Once in Future, also. Yeah. Of the 3 stories in this set, The Legend of Baba Yaga was by far my favorite.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a fascination for the character and her walking hut. And Jacqueline King was marvelous in the role.
Yeah.
Will I go back and rewatch Fugitive of the Jadoon? Quite possibly.
Yeah.
Will I rewatch Flux? Probably not. But I'm more likely to pick up the next box set when I've got the funds.
Yeah.
Oh, and I really liked hearing the 13th Doctor's theme in the credits for these stories.
Yeah.
Did they change it at all for Joe's Doctor? I wasn't
sure. I
don't
think so, no.
Or does it just sound different through headphones?
Y'all had questions about U.S. coinage.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, yes.
5 cents is a nickel, 10 cents is a dime.
I think I was right.
Damn. One is named for the metal, and the other is from the Latin for 1/10, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ask me why the nickel is larger. Your system makes more sense when it comes to 5 and 10 pence coins.
Yeah.
But would you explain why pence is denoted by a D rather than a P?
Ooh.
Is it?
It isn't anymore.
Goodness, this ran longer than usual. I guess that's what happens when I can give actual feedback rather than my usual waffle. Mustache, there are dragons waiting to be brought into the world, and I have no doula.
Aww.
Be well, my friends. Anon, Catherine the Dragon Maker.
Thanks, Catherine.
Yes.
Thanks,
Catherine. Now I want waffles.
Pence. If you're writing 5 pence, you write 5p.
Yeah.
It used to be represented by a D back in olden times, Victorian days.
Before 73.
Yeah. Any more feedback?
That'll be it.
Lead us out, Crumbly.
And so, dear listeners, that brings us to the end of another podcast.
Aww.
But never fear, in the next one, there'll be more of the same. More fun, frivolity and jollity, more news and reviews, more old and new. So, until that...
T for toxic. Totally, totally, totally...
Turgid.
Trashed Tom.
Tomatoes.
Tripe.
Tomatoes.
With teeth...
Tumbling.
Tip-topping.
Tripping over their tails.
Tipsily.
Come.
Towards us.
Tantalizingly.
This is me, Crumbly, saying, be seeing you.
Farewell.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Some humans would do anything to see if it was possible to do. If you put a large switch in a cave somewhere with a sign on it saying, end of the world switch, please do not touch, the paint wouldn't even have time to dry.
Terry Pratchett? You have been listening to the Staggering Stories podcast, Series 1, number 468, featuring Adam Purcell, Andy Simpkins, Fake Keith, Asdaman, and the real Keith Dunn. The views expressed here are those of the speaker and don't necessarily represent those of the other speakers of the site. No copyright infringement is intended, and this has been an El Presidente and Fake Keith production for www.staggeringstories.net. Sorry.
Armchair's creaky even when I'm not moving.
Are we allowed to breathe during the silence?
Not loudly.
I've just noticed.
What?
We suddenly have a build-up of Velmas.
They've been multiplying again.
They have.
Is that a new one? Is she half of Velma, or is she sitting down?
Sitting down. That's a new one, yeah. That's a new one. It's going cheap in B&M.
And she called to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Handmade by robots, apparently.
Oh. Who's that boy? Handmade by robots. Was that Ed Sheeran?
I don't know, but it's the name of the company too, so I don't know who stole it from who.
No, it used to be an advert for a car.
Oh.
Because I can distinctly remember...
Yeah, it does sound vaguely familiar now.
Yeah, I can distinctly remember a there comic... No, not the 9 o'clock news. Here, Bob, you got the wrench? No, I haven't got the wrench. Perhaps Bob's got it. Bob, where's that wrench? Oh, I lent it to Bob's down the... Ford Fiesta, hand-built by Roberts.
Oh.
Okay.
What's that one? I think it's not the 9 o'clock news, but you know, what's this Fiat... Was it designed by a computer, built by robots, driven by Italians?
Oh dear. We've seen their driving.
I turned my tablet off. Just a second. Take them off. Bim, 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 bim.
I don't like crazy people.
Bim, sorry.
Sorry. The potato people.
We can go there on my flying carpet if you wish.
We can't do that. Who tidy up the mess?
He's listened to it twice. Because he's a teacher's pet. Teacher's pet, gonna get your knickers wet.